14th chapter of the book of Mark, we read about an event that took place on one of the last evenings that Jesus was left on this earth in the house of Simon the leper. And Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, read with me as we note what took place on this evening. And it says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointments of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." So this morning we're going to talk about how we can break the alabaster box. We're going to talk about breaking the alabaster box, how we show appreciation and express our gratitude to others for what they have done. And so as we have read here about Mary and how she took that costly ointment and she anointed the Lord with it, and so likewise we show our appreciation for others in certain ways. And so what, though, is an alabaster box? Well, first of all, we need to know it is a container that is made from stone. It's a stone very much like marble. It also could be called a vase or a jar or a flask. It was basically a vase of perfume. It's made from stone that was sealed up with a perfume inside. And so here the context of where we're talking about was during, it was just a few days before the Passover, 6 days before the Passover. It was the Saturday night before his death. You know, a few weeks after the raising of Lazarus also is when it took place. Again, the popularity of Jesus had risen once again because of that raising of Lazarus. The place is in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. You know, he could have offered his house to show his gratitude to Jesus for healing him. Also, the people there. Jesus was there with his closest friends, the 12 apostles. He was there with Simon the leper, one that he had cured of leprosy. He was there with Mary and Martha, along with perhaps Lazarus after his resurrection. So there are at least 17 people at this dinner: Simon, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Jesus, and the 12 apostles. The three key persons, though, in the event are Mary, Judas, and Jesus. And so as we look again at the anointing at Bethany in verse 3, again it says there that being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. Now in this account is found in Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew and Mark do not mention who it was that this woman was. But John tells us that it was Mary who was sister to Lazarus and Martha. John chapter 12 and verse 3 says there that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And so we know that this was Mary, the same Mary that shared a house with Martha and Lazarus. The same Mary that, remember, sat at the feet of Jesus, who Martha complained about because she wasn't pulling her share of the housework at that time. And so, again, Jesus commended her on that other occasion because she was doing that which was needful. She was listening to the Lord. The ointment of spikenard that she used on him was highly esteemed in antiquity as a precious, aromatic, and costly luxury. The alabaster box and its contents were very valuable. such as any woman of refinement would appreciate. This was a perfume and used only to give a pleasant odor. It had no other use. It wasn't some medicinally valuable thing. It only gave out a beautiful scent. And so Mary anointed Jesus with this precious ointment. She broke that alabaster box of ointment and poured it on the head of Jesus. Again, this ointment was valued at 300 pence. 1 pence was a day's wage for the average worker. And so basically 300 days of work, nearly a full year of call, or a full year of work to pay for it. So it's a very valuable. To put it into our context today, you know, the average minimum wage worker in Missouri, if he worked 40 hours a week, would make $16,000 a year. And so that's a year's wage. And so think about that, a year's wage for a regular daily worker. So that's a very expensive item that she has there. It was a spikenard was produced from a rare plant that grows only in India. And so imagine, you know, the cost involved in importing it from India. And so it was very expensive. Many people saved for years to be able to provide this for their own funeral preparations. This was, you know, you get the prepaid funeral plans that you can get today. That is the same kind of thing they had then. They would save up a lot of time and they would save this money so they would have that on hand for use at their own burial. You know, John also tells us in John 12:3 that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, Mary seems like she came up behind Jesus and poured out most of the ointment on his head as he sat at meats and anointed his feet with the remainder. When she had done this, she wiped his feet with the long flowing tresses of her hair. It was an act of love and devotion that brought fragrance to the whole house. Mary did something for Jesus that no one else had ever done. You know, Mary doesn't appear to have been a really wealthy woman. The alabaster box containing such expensive perfume. Alabaster itself, that what the box was made out of, is a beautiful semi-transparent gemstone. It was used to make containers which hold only the most expensive and precious ointments. When the contents were extremely precious, the makers would work the stone in such a way that the only way to empty it would be to break the container, thus making it something that you cannot reuse. And so even the container itself was expensive. And so, you know, Jesus had been teaching his disciples that he was going to die. We look back in Matthew 16, verse 21. Some weeks or months prior to the Last Supper there, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." He had already told them about this many times. And they did not believe him. In fact, remember Peter on that occasion in Matthew chapter 16 had said, "Oh Lord, no, not going to happen. Not on my watch." And of course the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're getting in my way. You're opposing that which I came to do." And so they did not believe him. Mary, though, perhaps was more in touch with who Jesus was and is, or then was his own disciples. You know, she believed that he was about to die. They did not. Apparently, she knew his body would not be available after death, so she did it ahead of time. You know, no doubt her faith enabled her to see beyond the cross and the tomb to a day when Jesus would rise from the dead and occupy the throne of glory in heaven. And so she was preparing his body for that death. We look down at verse 8 of Mark chapter 14. Jesus says, "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." You know, this one act is the foundation of Mary's influence. Verse 9, Jesus says about her, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You know, we still talk about her all of these years later. She still exercises influence on this world because she did, as Jesus said, she did what she could. And so we're going to talk now about how we can break the alabaster box, so to speak. You know, this event in the life of Jesus shows the attitude of Mary. She showed her appreciation for the Lord while He yet lived. She did not wait until He was dead to anoint Him. Her attitude was, "Nothing is too good for my Lord." Thus we get the phrase, breaking the alabaster box. We should in like manner break the alabaster box towards those that are around us. You know, let us give our flowers while our friends live, that they may comfort and encourage and bless them. Garland Elkins wrote commentary, says, "Keep not the kisses for the dead, cold brow, nor the touch of the affection, or the touch of affection for the hands that are still. Hast thou an alabaster box? Break it now. Encourage someone life's purpose to fulfill." And so where should we break, so to speak, the alabaster box? Well, first of all, we should do it in our homes. You know, we should show appreciation for those in our home, for our family, for our children, children for the parents. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Says there, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." You know, children can, so to speak, break the alabaster box while they show appreciation and give honor to their parents. Give honor to those that provide for them. Also, though, we can break the alabaster box as parents, providing for our children. In verse 4 it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Husbands and wives can likewise show their appreciation for one another. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25 we read, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And so we should take the time while we are here in the presence of our family. Our children are still in the home, or even when they're not, when we have opportunities to show them appreciation, to show them love, to do things for them, to show our appreciation. We also can break the alabaster box in the church. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, there we read, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." You know, we show our appreciation for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We show our appreciation for the elders, for the deacons, for those that preach the Word of God, for each member that is faithful. We can do so by sending a card to those that are sick or in grief, by preparing a meal for someone who is sick, by mowing the grass or something for someone who's in the hospital, you know, giving a tract, praying for the area. Remember, one of the greatest gifts that my wife and I ever received is years ago, the Kidwell family lived about two blocks over from us. He was preaching for the church down in south of Austin, and we were living near each other, and I was in preaching school, and we had an infant son, and his oldest daughter, Holly, came over to babysit, and we went off to go see a movie. It was one of them Star Wars movies. But anyway, we come back. The kid is fed, the house is cleaned, the kid's asleep, actually. The house is clean, and there's supper on the table waiting for us. The greatest act. That's just a very act of kindness, and that's the way we ought to be towards one another. You know, Christians should be in the habit of breaking the alabaster box to everyone who helps and assists us in this life. Now, when we do these things, when we break the alabaster box, so to speak, we will face criticism. You know, Mary did what she could, and yet she was still criticized for that. In Mark 14, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor,' and they murmured against her." Remember, these are close friends. The 12 apostles and Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Simon the leper, these are close associates of one another. Close friends, and yet they criticize her for this. The New King James says they criticized her sharply. They murmured, some versions say they scolded her. You know, Judas thought he knew a better way to use the gift. And John 12, verses 4 through 6, seems he's really the instigator of this murmuring. "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." And so we see his criticism was unjust. It was motivated out of greed rather than anything else. Other disciples, though, called what she did a waste. Matthew 26, 8 and 9. It says, "When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" You know, when we do what we can, we're going to be criticized. Why is that? You know, some may scold us for not doing it another way. Well, maybe you should have done it differently. Some think that they know a better way to do it. Some may call what we did a waste. I remember one time I was waiting to go into the jail to speak to the inmates, and it was running a little bit later, and there was a bail bondsman sitting in there waiting to get somebody out of jail, and I got to visiting with him, and he basically, you know, I told him I was going in there to teach a class to them, and he said, "Oh, it's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. This bunch of animals, they're not going to listen." And he just had all kinds of negative things to say. "It's a waste," he says. And a lot of people say, "Well, it's just a waste. You're wasting your time." Jesus, though, was clearly motivated by, or Judas, excuse me, was clearly motivated by money. He held the purse strings. Others may be motivated by a number of other things, such as jealousy or pride or personal differences or ignorance. You know, David, Moses, and Elijah were all criticized. Faced sharp and heavy criticism, yet their works continued. And their works influence us today. And so we will be criticized by some when we break the alabaster box, so to speak. Others, though, you know, we will be commended also. Again, Mark 14, verses 6 says, "For many shall come in my name..." That's chapter 13, verse 6. Jesus said, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying." Jesus commended her, even defended her. They could help the poor any time, but he would be with them only for a short time. You know, when the group considered a waste, Jesus considered it a beautiful thing. You know, the Revised Standard Version says that she has done a beautiful thing for me. Done something beautiful. She had done all that she could. She had anointed his body for burial. It's interesting that Jesus was given great gifts on three occasions. You know, at his birth or after his birth, the wise men came bearing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2, verse 11. Very valuable things. Nicodemus, after his death, John 19, verse 39, he gave him myrrh and aloe to anoint his body with. But this occasion with Mary... is different from those others. The other two were practical. This one was purely out of love, and it was a huge sacrifice. She may have withheld it even from her brother's funeral. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that Lazarus is in the grave, and he's been brought forth, and apparently it wasn't used then. You know, Judas, though, also was quick to point out it was worth 300 pence. It was worth a year's wage. It's valuable. You know, the sacrificial nature of our deeds, though, will be commended by God. It was a great sacrifice she had made. We're told that we are to make sacrifices, that we are that God desires our sacrifices. In Romans 12 and verse 1, for instance, Paul wrote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know, if I do what I can, I will be commended. We should all seek ways that we can show appreciation, first of all, for the Lord. We show our appreciation for the Lord by living a life that is worthy of the gospel. We've been called unto holiness. We've been called unto service. And so we show our appreciation to God through Christ by the works that we do. We show our appreciation for our family, for our children, for our mothers and fathers and grandparents, by showing them and showing our love to them in real and practical ways. We show our love for our brethren within the church by expressing gratitude, expressing appreciation, serving one another. We're told to, by love, serve one another. When we do all of these things, it helps us to grow closer together. You think about the joy that is found in giving, the joy that you have in expressing thanks to others for what they have done. We draw closer to one another, and we draw closer unto the Lord through these things. And so we need to be breaking the alabaster box, so to speak. We need to be sacrificially loving one another, sacrificially loving the Lord and serving Him in all that we do. And so let us break the alabaster box on behalf of Jesus. Jesus came. He lived that perfect life. He suffered everything you and I suffer. He did it without sin, though. That's the key difference. He was punished terribly for our sins, not for anything He had done, but for us. He gave His life on the cross for us. And Mary understood this. Understood what He had done or what He was going to do. And she, while she had the opportunity, while He was still there with her, she did what she could. What Mary did for His physical body, we should do for His spiritual body, the church. Like Mary, we conduct ourselves that our lives will become memorials for good. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think, to think back on some of the ones that have been here and that were faithful for so many years and have gone on to their reward, and to remember their faithfulness, to remember the way that they were. That's a memorial to those people. Here Mary did the same thing with the Lord, and we should do the same thing with the Lord, and we should live our lives in such a way that when we are gone, people will say and remember us for the great things that we did and for our love for the Lord. The only way that people can know our love for them and know our love for the Lord is by seeing what we actually do, how we love one another, how we love the Lord, how we live our lives. We urge you today, if you're here as one who is not a child of God, you need to remember and recognize what Christ has done. Show your appreciation, show your love by obeying Him, keeping His commandments, believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sins based upon that belief, being baptized to have your sins washed away, confessing that you believe He is the Son of God, and living a life faithful to Him. We urge you today, if you have not done those things, to become a child of God. If you are here today and you haven't been faithful, we urge you to repent. If we can help you today in any way, let us know as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.
And the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?